It's Sunday morning, April 26th. Yes, Gorky forgot to pay something. GoDaddy has multiple levels of things, and I had a renewal that didn't go into effect until October. So I got this notice, and I just ignored it because that wasn't until October. And then when I went to the website and called them up, said, "Oh yeah, we get a call like this about every hour because they just could be a little bit more clear in their communication." So
the bills are paid.
Well, yeah, it's on a credit card now. I'll talk to Charlie later, and I renewed it for 3 years. They offered a discount of 5 years, and I said, "Well, 3 years is enough. We'll see how it goes." And I told Shelley,
the Lord is coming.
I thought 3 years was showing a lot of faith given the pandemic, but I did. They do want us to move off of that website, and I told Shelley. He said, "Hey, can you get on this new thing?" And I said, "Will you migrate my data?" And they go, "No." I said, "No, there's 500 audio files that I have to move." I said, "Well, we'll give you $100. I go, I said, "You $1,500, and we can start to talk about it, because it's 3 weeks of my life." So
anyways,
it's back up, and I apologize. I was late. I misunderstood about a warning.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time here today, that it would be your spirit that would move here, your truth, your light, O Lord, that we would receive. And Lord, we ask that your hand of protection would be upon all of us, beyond the state in the Chippewa Valley, but Lord, that your hand of protection would be on those of us here today, O Lord. These are hard times, but you look after your children.
Yes.
So, Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that we would be safe under your tent.
Yes.
Oh, despite the dangers out there, that we would be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, we ask that you would do that sweet, sweet work for us, oh Lord, by your Spirit, and that we would have your light, your truth, your word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I hate to be the bringer of bad tidings, but I got some real bad news. 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Mm-hmm. And so if we're expecting better conditions, they're not going to necessarily come. But it's not only, they're not only deceiving, but it says what they're being deceived.
Where were you reading it from?
This is 2 Timothy 3:13.
13. Okay, I said 10.
Mm. Well, and it gets better in verse 12.
Yeah. "All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution."
Are you sure you guys wanted to come today?
It'll get better.
Yeah.
We were invited.
Everybody's always invited, but
I
heard somewhere, I think it was in 1 John, that it says, "And the whole world is under the sway of the devil."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where are you at?
That was in, I don't know, I can't find it now. I just heard it in 1 John somewhere. I think it was towards the end.
Well, our scripture finder is working right now. We have our own Google.
No pressure.
No.
Well, Well, I take comfort in what Jesus said when, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Yes. Yes.
That's the... in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Mm-hmm. I've overcome the world.
Yeah, let me read the verse following, the one I brought out. It's 5:19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Good news after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And back to that 2 Timothy, 12 and 13, that said, things are not going to be looking good. But in verse 14, but continue thou in the things, this is the King James Version, so if anyone has the NIV, feel free. But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, and know of whom you've learned them. That's important. You better know where you learned it.
Mm.
That from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Scriptures are positive, so I'm not, I didn't mean to bring a downer, but I saw that and I thought, if we're expecting the things to get better, it doesn't promise us that. But God has promised us that he's in charge.
I have thought of us like on the very edge of a cliff that is totally perilous, but having a railing on the edge of that cliff that you hang on to. So in one sense, it is about as dangerous a place as you could be. On the other hand, that railing right there, you're safe and sound. You're doing you're perfectly safe, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that you're in this really perilous spot. Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to read something?
No.
Through the week I was wondering that there's a lot of people upset, through forever and ever and ever. Because, you can study, math or biology or whatever. And even all the professors studying the same stuff will have different opinions and whatever. And it's very upsetting when it comes to a subject that to try to find truth. And you can study and you can prove it and you can be certain of anything that you read and believe to be truth. But I just realized this week, you guys realized this maybe 100 years ago, but I just realized that there is no truth, but one truth in any subject. You cannot speak truth. We forget about the Word of God. Any subject, there is not such thing as truth. There isn't. And that's why people are upset, because people are after truth. Everybody wants to know the truth, even these days. I just want to know the truth. What is the truth? What is fake news? It's because you will never, ever, ever, ever find truth. And that's why there's something missing in humanity. They're after truth. And they don't realize that there's only one truth that will give you peace, that is Jesus. There's this Word of God and Jesus. It is the only truth. There isn't other truth. You know, there's ideas and studies, and they all conflict with each other. You know, one guy will say drink water every day. The other one guy will say don't drink ever. You know what I mean? Ken just read. I'm going to read it again. You know, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true. Jesus, you know, I am the truth. Anyways, there will always be disappointment. Always, always there will be disappointment in humanity when you want to know the truth, but there is such thing as truth in the world. There's just not. It's laid out there. There's no truth in the world except for
Jesus. You know, there's that scripture. Ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, so Jesus says, if you continue in my word, and you shall know the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we've never been in bondage, well. It's like, certainly it will make you free. It will make you free. If you are not after this truth, you are in bondage. You are in this uncomfortable place. Very uncomfortable. Uneasy. Jesus says, you want to be free? You know, don't look for truth where you will never find it. You can only find it in through Jesus. And not even on the letter. You know what I mean? This letter alone is not true. It will become true after you eat it, you know, and digest it, and with the Holy Spirit. It's a work. But I just don't think that I would have known this 20 years ago. But I just feel so free that I don't care what anybody's thoughts or anything is on any subject. It will not make me happy ever at all. A doctor or a test or a mechanic, nothing. Just it is so comfortable to not believe anybody. You know what I mean? Just believe Jesus. Oh my God, you'd be so free. You know what I mean?
You know, you put your eggs in the basket of the world.
Yeah.
That is a prescription for frustration and unhappiness.
Yeah.
You know, for the reasons you're talking about.
Yeah. Like we were saying on Tuesday, and, you know, let God be truth and every man a liar. And we are all men. We don't have the capability of speaking truth. Jesus says, why do you seek to kill me? A man has told you the truth. Abraham did not do this. I mean, hold on a second. Abraham didn't do this? Yeah. Abraham told us, you know, facts and things, but the life-giving truth is not through the prophets, or if it's not through Moses or Abraham or whatever, you can only get it through Jesus. You know, he who does not enter through the door is a thief and a robber. I mean, if you're trying to find truth through these other ways, you are as a thief and a robber. He said, I am the door, I am the way. You want truth? It's through Jesus. I mean, even if you're not a Christian, even if you're an atheist, you cannot find truth. I dare any atheist to start reading the Bible, and they'll be happy. You know what I mean?
I think I related this story once before, but I went to junior college on the GI Bill when I got out of the service after a while. And in this one semester, I took sociology, philosophy, and one other one in that same, and they had these questions, and it was like, is there an answer that fits for everybody? And I thought, oh, I got so engrossed in it that I didn't realize it, but I actually lost like 3 days. I couldn't remember 3 days. I was so just overtaken by this, you know, these questions that really don't have an answer, because nothing is ever satisfying for everyone. And I don't think I realized that I had till later when I couldn't remember this little few days in my life because I was just so overwhelmed with this thing. So, and guess what? I haven't even come one itty bitty close to having that happen with this one. It's yeah, because there aren't answers out in the world that will satisfy everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Never will be.
It says, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. And then it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly.
Mm.
Yeah. That scripture that Charlie referenced before is actually just a few verses in front of the one that Keith mentioned. It's 2 Timothy 3:7. Forever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7.
What was that scripture from, please?
That was in 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 on through, well, keep going on through the whole chapter, really.
That's right.
2 Timothy.
So if you're never taught truth, you're not going to learn truth anyway. If the ones teaching you don't know truth, you're not going to find truth through human teaching. I wanted to read a scripture. It had something to do with what somebody said, and I don't remember who said it. But it says in John 1:17, the Gospel of John, it says the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost track of who said what. You know, mm-hmm. But
you're thinking, what do you see to heal me? A man that told you the truth, Abraham did not do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what triggered what you just read. Maybe not.
And Paul makes a statement to the Galatians, and he says, hey, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, speaking the gospel.
I think the whole thing is set up so that we have a hunger for truth. And if we don't find it, you know, except one place. I remember when I first started coming around to this place and looking at these people and thinking they were pretty odd and whatever, you know. I was right, they were odd. there was a... I had a job with the state, but, you know, I wasn't, these weren't my kind of people in a way, you know. But I there was an altar call, and I remember the thought, in retrospect, it was the Holy Spirit, but, and that is, this, what this is true. Now, you don't have to go with it. You know, that's your call. If you got some things that are more important than the truth, okay, stay put. But this is your chance at the truth. Might look pretty funny, but it's your chance at the truth. And I guess I'll say to my credit, I responded to that. Mm-hmm.
You know, the interesting thing about this is you just can't have a casual acquaintance with the Bible. You can't find truth by having a Bible and reading it every so often, you know, looking up one or two things. Because the truth is there, but it's hidden. And it needs to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we've often said there, you need a love for the truth. Because it's not revealed unless you have a love for the truth. And truth is elusive. I mean, there are 50 denominations that will tell you what truth is. Mm-hmm. You know, what I find interesting is when we think back about those of us who have been here 35 or more years, as we thought we had the truth, we were actually quite proud of the truth that we had. And really, what we had was, we convinced ourselves that we had the truth, but we really weren't looking for it. We weren't really looking for it. We're letting someone say, this is truth, and away we went. And now, because we're all looking for the truth, it's being revealed, but bit by bit. But it's elusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the truth being hidden, you know, every once in a while I run into all these little booklets and, you know, with 10 instructions. Okay, do you want to know about this subject in the Bible? And it gives you a set of, you know, 10 scriptures. Do you want to know about forgiveness? And they say, okay, go to these scriptures. But that's not the right approach. That's not the right approach at all. And, you know, the truth is hidden. You can read this and not get truth. That's you can read it from top, from beginning to top.
From beginning to the end.
Yeah,
front to back.
He's right. It says, Jesus, you know, in Revelation, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Just hear. What the Spirit says to the church, he's a spirit of things, just hear it. And it says, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. See, it is, in fact, hidden.
Okay.
It is not a plain sight. You know what I mean? It's just exactly what you said.
That's the one of the reasons that no man can teach it.
Right.
And there's a scripture that, well, actually there's two of them. There's one of them in Hebrews. It says that you will have no need that any man teach you.
Mm-hmm.
You will all know me. From the least to the greatest. And it doesn't happen by me teaching. I can't teach anybody to know the Lord, but God himself can. And Jesus says, no man can find the Father except through me. You know, and it's whoever he will reveal him. And one of the reasons is because Jesus only spoke what the Father told him to speak, which gives us an indication or a clue at the contents of what Jesus was saying. You know, he told through Moses, God said, I will put my words in his mouth, well, that's what we have. And Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So, God is revealing himself through his Son, and then Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take of mine and show it to you. And I'm thinking, take of his? What he had was what the Father had. So, if you get what he had, you've got what the Father has. You know, that's why he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, because he only spoke what the Father told him to speak. I have a verse that I've been sitting on here for a while. I'll lose it after a while if I don't bring it. And that's in John 17:17 in the prayer chapter. And Jesus said, sanctify them through your truth. I mean, he's praying to the Father, and he says, sanctify them. Well, in my concordance, I just looked it up again to make sure that I was remembering it rightly. The word sanctify here, I mean, it can be make them holy or make them righteous or whatever. But in this case, it is saying make them holy by separating them unto yourself. See? Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And we came to the realization some time ago that truth is not my private interpretation or my conclusion. Truth is what God actually meant by what he said. And that's why he's given the Holy Spirit to reveal it, because no man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that's in him. No thing, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2. And so, if we're going to be sanctified, and this actually it means to be also separated. You become God's separation. You're separated unto Him through truth. But it has to be His truth. It can't be my private interpretation.
Mm.
It won't work.
Mm.
Anyway, glory.
Jesus says, you know, we, like we said in the past, that the truth, and even Charlie was saying a couple of days ago, it's not about having all your ducks in a row. You know, I mean, truth is a place where you are. What Jesus says, walk in truth. It's a path. You know, it's a where you are. You know, just like Jesus said, you know, Abraham did not tell you the truth, you know, give you the truth. Because it's not that Abraham had the facts wrong. You know, it's not that Abraham lied. You know, it's just truth is a place to be, you know, and you actually I cannot give you through my mouth that truth. I don't have it. It's impossible. It's a place, and God puts you there, you know, through His Word, you know, the Holy Spirit. I mean, everything. It's just and I don't know that you can share it. You can say, you can tell someone how to get it, but you can't give it. You know, it's only given by God.
I just love what Jesus said to Pilate. I have come to bear witness to the truth, and those who are of the truth hear my voice.
That's it.
It's yeah. Hearing, it's yeah. It's having that note sound right.
Yeah.
You know. You know, if you've got a musical ear, if you're off, you know, it's discordant. But the perfect note, hear His voice, yes, you know. But that is not just a long list of correct facts. You know, it's a different deal. I think Pablo put it pretty well when he calls it a place.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Mm. And my sheep know my voice. I've often thought about that. You know, when you call me on the phone,
mm-hmm.
Of course now caller ID, you got that. But I don't have to say, who is this? I know this is Barb's voice. When you have that personal relationship where you can know everything you want to about Abraham Lincoln, you could be a professor and an expert. But if there was a voice on the, if he called you on the phone, you wouldn't know who it was.
Right.
You could know about something, but hearing your voice, and my sheep, they know my voice, and you hear His voice here, and He uses His Holy Spirit to discern that, instead of our own human understanding to discern that.
You know, a truth not only sets you, makes you free on earth, and gives you this, takes away this uneasy stuff, but it also gives you eternal life. that's a big plus.
Oh, by the way.
You know, Jesus, okay, so I'm going to read again that scripture. Says, you know, he says in at the end of John, he says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the period. This is the true God and eternal life. Some might take this as that Jesus is God. But what is it now? See, God, the Son of God is true. And you will have eternal life through that. And this is God, our Savior. You know, this is who God is. This is who. This is the intent of God. This is God's purpose. This is the true God and eternal life. You know, it's like this is what God wants. He wants you to have truth through Jesus. You know, and what I find a little funny here, actually I think it is funny. So here in John, so he's talking about all this God and stuff and truth. And then the last verse, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. It's like it has nothing to do with anything he said earlier. I almost like I see John writing, like, hey, man, I got some ink left in this paper. Oh, little children are good.
And yep, maybe there is a real good connection.
Yeah.
You know, it,
yeah.
On its face, it looks as though he's badly changing the subject.
But what a visual. There's a little ink on the
screen. I thought it was maybe translating between listen to Jesus, don't listen to idols. That's where I got them, but maybe it was simply a little more room on a parchment and fill it up.
Yeah.
A little space to go.
Maybe Eli was doing an essay, you know, he had to do a 1,000-word essay, so maybe do
a few words. I need one more sentence. Yeah, when you were talking about truth, and I think it's right to not think of truth as a thing. And then I heard someone use the word place, and even that, I was like, well, yeah. You can say I'm in this place, but you're speaking not necessarily of a place on earth, but you're speaking of your existence or where your head's at. So I think of being, you know, sometimes you can look at truth as the existence that you're walking in, you know. Just, and I think you get there, at least when you're talking scripturally, by staying in the Word, because that's how you reinforce
mm-hmm.
it. Because the world will pull you out of it so quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we worry about people cutting us off on the road, or what are we going to have for dinner, or did I get the lawn mowed, or the fish aren't biting, or whatever it is. Yeah, all these things that take us off of wanting to be in God's Word and being in that truth.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of impressed me is no matter what I believe, it's not going to change the truth. The truth is the truth.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And I need to change what I believe
mm-hmm.
into the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like looking at
mm-hmm.
whether we're going to do our will or His will.
Yep.
It's So it's like I got all these things I want to do, and then as soon as I realize I'm doing what He wants me to do, I'm in a better place.
And the things that I learned years ago may not be the truth, so I have to kind of put everything aside and wait for the Spirit to show me the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the toughest conversion, I think.
It is.
It's hard. You're no longer in charge.
No way.
Well, for a while, a lot of people thought they were. I mean, they could make good choices and da da da, everything is fine. No.
And the only way you're going to get that is by studying and letting the Holy Spirit come.
When, I don't know how long it's been now, 18 years, we've been whatever, who knows, somewhere back then.
Yeah.
But that was the place I came to, is I finally went, okay, Lord, I want to start completely over. I know nothing, and I want you to teach me. And then from that point, as a little child, you know, just depend on my father to show me all the things that need to be shown. And then when you have that attitude and you've gotten to that place of humility or humbleness, it's amazing how that word just starts to open up. I mean, we heard, if you want to know me, look where I am. And then all of a sudden, I know for the first 3 months or so, all I could see in there was how important His word was in His word, you know. It just kept bringing it up, my word, you know, and put the importance on it. And so then you get that's where you start to eat baby food, and then you just keep getting nourished. And if you keep having the faith to believe that the Holy Spirit will teach anyone
mm-hmm.
that comes to Him,
mm-hmm.
to Him. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you look like, how smart you are, how dumb you are, heavy, skinny, what, it doesn't matter. He will teach anyone that comes to Him by the Holy Spirit. And I like the realization I came to was there's not one bit of my intelligence that will get me to heaven.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know? Not one bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then the next neat thing that came was in Hebrews, I realized that you can enter into his rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See, you don't have to study and labor in the scriptures. You can just rest and take him in, and he'll feed you. He'll give you the truth. You don't have to figure things out. You know? It's, and I love that part of it. I love that. I mean, that lifted such a burden, and it makes you free because you don't have to figure anything out. The Holy Spirit will give it to you if you ask. And just be patient and have faith that he will show. I mean, we've had questions on certain scriptures and went on for 6 months, and then all of a sudden clarity came, you know, through different ones, too. It wasn't just always one person. Sometimes it is. But and if you have that trust in God, and that all of us here are subject to being subject to one another, there's a safety so that, something comes a little off. Somebody will go, I don't know if it really is. And then we'll look at the scriptures. And while we're looking at them, it's like, and we'll keep going over and over, maybe not in just one meeting, maybe a couple, but all of a sudden then a clarity comes. And we all can kind of see, I think this is what it means. You know, all of us see it then. You know, not because, I'm going to believe it because Charlie saw it. You know, I'll just trust him. You know, it comes that we all see it.
Yeah.
And
that's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's godly. It's good.
It is.
You know, because
yes.
It's not man teaching man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest hurdle to get over.
It is so good to feel really good about something in which your own ego isn't involved.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
And as far as why is it given to some? Grace of God, you know. We don't know why he chose us to come into this beautiful realm of his word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just happy that we did it. You know, and there's countless others out there that he wants in the same place. He wants them to come. You know, he knows their heart, and he wants to have his truth in them, you know.
Mm.
So.
In the fourth chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was being tempted of the devil, and the devil had turned these stones into bread, you know, and Jesus made the statement, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And one of the reasons for, as we have been listening to the scriptures, I have become more and more conscious of the fact I need every word and not ignore any of it. I need all of them.
Yep.
And there's a scripture in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, verse 10. It's one of those scriptures that it's too easy to miss. It's easy to miss the scripture. And because it's the last half of the scripture, it says, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. A love for the truth is a salvation issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't receive a love for the truth so that they could be saved. And if we're constantly listening to stuff that is not God's word, and we don't know where it comes from, we have a, you know, it's hard to have a love for the truth. I kept working on our baptism room, and others have helped me, My son-in-law's wife and my oldest daughter have been working on this thing. You know, the two of them have got a lot done on it. And of course, you know I'm talking about Shelley. But anyway, I had something inside of me. I have baptized, I don't know how many people, lots of people over the years. And you know why I did? Because the Bible says to baptize. But it also says that God's will is for us to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I thought, why am I doing it? I want to know. And I have, this has been going on and on and on in my head for how long? I don't know. And, you know, it's only been recently that I've begun to get some clues. And it's not that I fully understand it, but all of a sudden I see, you know, to be baptized is to be immersed. That baptism is a, it's a Greek word, or well, baptizo is a Greek word for baptism, which means to immerse. To sprinkle is rontizo, which is a, that means that's not even in the Bible. And so, but what is the reason for immersion? And well, it says that we are buried with Christ through baptism, but we rise to walk in newness of, you know, and there's two different examples that are given to us in the scripture. One of them is in Peter, where it says that as the Israelites were baptized unto Moses in the cloud, and it's the like thing that we do, which is baptism, does now save us. And it took me a long time for me to understand. I started to understand it. And see, what we do through immersion is we rise up out of the water. And the thing about being put under the water, that there's no victory in that. The victory is coming out of the water. And we rise to walk with Christ in a newness of life. That's what it says. And so I it's taken me a long time, but I finally began to see the victory is coming out of the water, not going into the water.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Oh, well, although you are identifying with his death, mm-hmm. which is you dying to yourself.
Well, exactly.
If you don't go under the water,
can't rise out of it.
Yeah. So there's that part. But yes, yeah. But the ultimate is the resurrection.
It's kind of a win-win. It's good to agree to die.
Yeah, but
it's even greater to rise again.
What I'm saying is, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word.
Amen.
Every word. Amen. Every word. And that's where a lot of people fail. You know, I've lived on partial manna for so many years. You know, just like I heard somebody made the statement, they said, well, I like that scripture. There's something wrong. We got to like all of the scriptures. We got to like the scriptures we don't like.
But it's okay to admit that we don't like them all yet.
Yes.
Because we're still a work in progress.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would say we have to just believe them all. More than like.
Or take account in some way. Better not shove them in the.
Well, ignore none of them, right?
When I first got this one, I had more scriptures I didn't like than I do now.
That's a good way to put it. In my book. I used to have more scriptures I didn't like than I do now.
Yeah.
Why?
You know, it's funny.
Taj has got a question.
Oh my God.
Why do we get baptized?
No.
Okay, you say it.
I want to know.
Why did I get baptized?
Explain it to me. So clearly you all know I'm struggling with this because my mom and dad tell me it about me a lot. And so I am struggling with it. I've been through the Bible. My Pastor Perry points me all kinds of directions, and I'm confused. He just said it. You know, you just explained it. It's a symbol. So but my question is, why do I do that? So, like, right now you go in there and if you put me under the water and bring me up, is that all it takes? And I don't believe it does. And so now I'm struggling with, how do you get there? Because I still have a ton of baggage that I'm not ready to let go of yet. So if I get baptized without letting go of my baggage, is it really doing anything for me? And I know I just totally went left turn for you, or left that way. But yeah, and my parents know because I don't think, and my kids know, I already know because I think that they get tired of me asking and talking and questioning everything everybody says to me, but I'm struggling with it. I have never been baptized.
Mm.
except as
I grew up in this church, and I have never been baptized.
Well, you were sprinkled.
I don't. Okay, well, I'm
as a baby.
I'm yeah. saying this, but I don't
but
believe baby.
You know, one
thing
to keep in mind is how cleaned up did you get to come and get your sins forgiven?
Say that again.
How cleaned up did you get yourself to be born again?
Accept Christ.
You can.
Were you told?
That's why you're coming.
You weren't told to come. Yeah.
You know, because you have luggage. That's
yes.
why you're coming to Him. And so, and I understand what you're saying, because I got still got luggage and doing all the things that should have been done, you know. So,
yeah.
But I think you can come to a place where you want to just say, forgive me. Forgive my sins today. You know?
I don't think my baggage is my, like, it's not me. It's everything else I'm holding. I'm holding. It's mine.
But I mean, part of the baptism,
I have
forgiveness of sins.
I have
know.
Forgiveness to give,
you know,
and
there,
I can't do it.
There is a big deception of the devil, huge in the world, that says, clean up before you come to God.
Right.
And that is the biggest lie you will ever hear in your life. If you believe that, you're listening to not God. God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So, and the scripture says, you know, Jesus will forgive your sins, right? And baptism will clean your sins away and whatever. But guess what? It's not going to keep you from sinning again. You will sin until the day you die. That's why Jesus came, to save you from your sins, not to keep you from sinning. There's a difference. Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament, and he's the biggest sinner that walked on earth. And he was a sinner what he was writing. So don't, if you try to clean up before you come to God, it's going to be too late. Don't clean up. Just come. The Bible says, just more rejoice in heaven for a sinner man, a sinful man that comes to God, than for a righteous man that needs no repentance. Now, the Paul says, should I abundantly sin so I can have abundance grace? Certainly not. You know what I mean? Not because there's grace, you're going to purposely go and sin. And so Jesus saves you from what you're doing, but you will keep sinning. You will keep messing up. That's why you have Jesus, so He can help you up, so he can forgive your sins. Again, I am not encouraging you to sin. I'm not saying sin.
Just like Paul, I am not telling you to sin.
But, and why do we get baptized? First of all, Mary recently says, you know, one of the most, I was just talking to my boys a couple of days ago. So, because Peter says, just baptize, because it's an act of good conscience. You know, it says get baptized, just get baptized. You know what I mean? It just says to do. You know, you just do it. That's an easy one. That's easier than to forgive and all these other things and to give all your money away. You just do it. Now, but also, Jesus got baptized, didn't he? If Jesus got baptized and you want to be Jesus-like, but, I mean, why would Jesus need to be baptized? What did he need to be cleaned from? I don't know.
What sins was he trying to get?
Right. You just get baptized. Now, so Jesus died, right? And then he was buried, and then he came, and then he resurrected. He had new life. Unless you're born again of water, when you're born again of water, you will have eternal life, the scripture says. And so when you get baptized, water symbolizes like a dirt in a way. It's like, You die to yourself, and then you are buried, and then you resurrect. You want to be like Jesus by dying, being buried, and resurrected. That's how you be like Jesus. Now, like we were just talking on Tuesday, we don't want to use dirt for this. We don't want to bury you in the hole, cover you with dirt. It's not conducive.
It's
we do water, right? So you die to yourself, you are buried, and then you resurrect in water. And you just believe that. Just believe it. There's so many things. God says, let there be many things. Let there be light. Do you believe that? And there was light?
Yeah.
Do you understand how it happened? No, I don't. Just don't worry how it works. Mm-hmm. God says.
Know me very well, do you?
No, because you want to know how it works, right?
It's not that. It's just.
Taj has some things, characteristics that are good, and then maybe they have some downside too. I know Taj well enough that she wants to know an answer. And a half answer is not good enough. She wants the answer.
I don't want the answer. I want answers. and then I can take it all in, and I can do what I do, and analyze and overanalyze and overanalyze, and then I can be like, oh, this is what I, okay, yes, now I get it.
Yeah.
I don't want just your answer. I want all the answers.
And as far as I'm concerned, that is a great place to be. It is. For people to say, well, yeah, you're supposed to be Baptist, so I guess I will. That isn't nearly as good as, why? Why? You keep asking that question, and then the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, and then you have that, okay, now I get it. And I think you can, it seems to me you're in a whole lot better place here, Taj, when you are insisting on an answer, not pretending, okay, people think I should, it's all well. You're not much good at pretending, and that is great to be in that situation. And I think you can expect that if you're feeling that, you are going to get an answer from the Holy Spirit that is going to satisfy. You know, you probably will have a revelation that will be far superior to that of a lot of people. Just because you've gone through this kind of process, this struggle here with it, I wouldn't feel the least bit, well, of course, until it's happened, you're not going to feel happy. But the upshot of it, I think it's just going to be good when you are seeking something that is finally shown to you. I think that's just really good when that happens.
Yeah, but you don't excuse me a second. I'll go back to what Ken said, because if you're in a position of non-action, you're not going to move until you get what you want that makes you feel okay, because you are going to be in control. And if you continue down that path, you can't get where you want. You heard all of us today say for a half an hour that we're trying to find this truth. We can't find this truth. None of us have this truth. We've got bits of truth, and we have to keep looking. As Ken said, the deception the enemy has you in right now, my opinion, is you think you're not good enough to start the process by declaring to the Lord that you want to be forgiven for your sins. Because you haven't arrived to the point to ask that question. See, if you do that, what you're doing is you're saying, God's not big enough to take care of my failings. And you don't want to say that. You know better than that.
I know what it is.
So, but you made another comment. You said you're in a place where you're not able to forgive someone. I've shared with these guys, you know, there's two great commandments. One is to love God with all my heart, and the other one is to love my brother as myself. And I tell every time we get together, I say, first one I'm pretty okay on. Second one, I am not there. I know I'm not there, but it doesn't prevent me from asking for forgiveness. It doesn't let the enemy box me in by saying, until I get to this place of being able to do this, I can't move forward. That's what the enemy will do to you. You can be convicted, but don't be condemned.
Right. That's a baby.
You know? And when I hear you saying is, God isn't big enough to overlook the way I feel right now. You didn't say it that way, but that's what I heard you say.
I've said that before. I have people say, just, you know, leave it at the cross. That's what it's there for. And I'm like, yep, and every day I can go there and I can put it down. But like, every time I pick it back up and take it with me.
Well, but we all do that.
Well,
I mean, we all say, gee, I wish I was not doing this. And then we do it again. And all that does is say, Lord, I got to go back. You know, the first thing Jesus told us to do when he started his ministry was ask for forgiveness. First, ask for forgiveness. I mean, it's interesting, and we brought it up. Why did Jesus get baptized? What sin was he asking God to forgive him for? As far as we know, he didn't sin at all. So it wasn't just to have the forgiveness of sins. But you have to acknowledge, you know me well enough to know that I'm not someone that really likes to go out of my way to make myself look foolish. Getting in a pool of water and having someone throw you underneath, coming up, look like a drowned rat to say that I'm asking God to forgive my sins, does nothing for my self-esteem or my image. But it does make a statement. I'm willing to look past my humanity and look towards the Father.
I'll give you a revelation that you don't know where you're at. You say, every day I put it at the cross, and then I take, you know what? That is going forward. That is going, that's not going backwards. That's going forward.
Yeah.
And so we got to put a stop to the enemy here and his lies. Because Paul, that's what that whole chapter 6 in Romans, I believe it is, or 7, chapter 7. If you read that, why do I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I know I should do? And he goes over and over. I'm there. I'm there all the time. But I found out, but I don't want to be there. That's the spiritual side of me winning over the flesh man. And so you got to let your spiritual mind and whatever person keep leading. And it is. Because you wouldn't want this if you were, you know, lost. Or, you know what I mean? If you were fallen. You wouldn't be coming with this all the time. You want to go on. You want to be what God wants. That's why you keep putting it at the cross. So what if you take it up again? Ask forgiveness again. I ask forgiveness so many times for certain areas in my life. And I occasionally now I get condemned, but not nearly as much as I used to. And what happens is, listening to the word, it slowly gives you peace because you start realizing you aren't condemned, that you are going the way, you have the heart that wants to take you on farther in God. You know, I do. Every person sitting here has that heart. And so that's the victory. And the word, like for me, slowly God so sweetly would convict me in the areas. And finally I'd go, I don't think I want to do that anymore. And it was like it would lift. Because I seen that he was showing me. He wasn't demanding. He just said, hey, you know, here's an area you could deal with right now. And it was obvious I could because he showed it to me. And so chip away, chip away, chip away, you know. And, you're in the right place spiritually if you keep looking at the cross.
You know, the fact that you know and want to forgive, that alone is a victory.
Yes.
The fact that you're not able to has nothing to do with nothing.
Just wait on God.
You are failing at forgiving, and the rest of us are failing at forgiving as well on other very many things. Don't worry about what you're failing at.
That kind of gets back to the other side of this box that the enemy has you in. Because you say, I want to know this. You know, and as Kenneth said, and I agree with him, it's a revelation. We're not learning God's truth through our brain.
Right.
It's not through our understanding. So when you say, as soon as I understand it, it's okay. God can move forward as soon as I get, you know, You know, it just does not work that way.
I heard the word analyze, and I kind of went,
ooh. There's a scripture that applies for all people that live godly. And it says, he who says that has no sin deceives himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is for people that are going to heaven. It's not for people that go to hell. So sin is natural for your flesh. It's not natural for your spirit. But and this is, it's hard to put it in paper and explain it or anything, but your flesh has sinned when you come to Jesus. Your spirit is clean. It is clean. Like, I sin, I wake up sinning. Just trust me on that. I wake up sinning, I go to bed sinning, but that is just my flesh, not my spirit. I know it's weird, but that's what Paul says.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Paul says. Hey, my flesh is sinning, but hey, my spirit isn't. And
my spirit man is.
Yeah.
I think analyze is the wrong word.
I
keep asking questions until I run out of questions. I don't give up until I have no more questions. And I feel like I'm never going to reach that point. Like, that I don't have another question. And I think maybe it's I love my church. I love the way it works. It's great. I love the motorcycle ministry, all that. But I feel like every person I go to gives me one more piece of it. And so I'm like, okay, well, where can I go next to get the next piece?
Not to church.
You know,
not to church.
Right.
Not to church of the word. Yes.
I've been through there, and my problem is I'm not Bible smart. I'm not.
Nobody is.
Nobody is.
Anybody here Bible smart? Put your hands up.
No way.
But I think that's where, again, I come to the question where, like, I hear people say that, like, well, this is what it says. And I'm like, no, you can't tell me what it says because I don't care what you think it says. And so then that's where I get hung up. What?
That's what I was going to say. Is that all the pieces you're getting?
I know,
and people's truth.
Yeah.
Well, but that's what, it's not even that I want the truth. It's just that I want to know, Ken, why did you make the decision to be baptized? Why did you do it? Assuming, you know, you want to share, it's personal. What did you feel, and what do you still feel about it? Like, because I could go and be baptized right now, but how do I know tomorrow I'm going to feel the same?
Then get baptized? Yeah.
You know, Ken was saying he was kind of reacting to the word analyze. But, you know, analyzing is exactly what you do until you get a revelation. You know, that is the effort and so forth. I mean, yeah, what are you going to do? You gotta analyze.
What if I never
But get then it? When the light comes on, it's not analyzing. It's the Lord showing you, and that
you
process.
Listen, do you listen to the word, or
you know?
Not like they do. No, we have our 9 o'clock. We have our Tuesday nights. We have our Thursday nights women's group. We have things where, and we're going through piece by piece and things like that. I do have it on there, but no, I will admit I do not listen to it.
It's an uncanny thing how it works, but by listening, just having it playing, you then it's coming into you by the Holy Spirit. If you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to teach me, then you just listen. And if you think you heard something, don't go shut the tape off, try to reverse it, go back and figure out what it said. Just keep listening. And have faith to believe that the Holy Spirit, through this word, will change you, teach you, guide you.
Add to that, it says, my word is spirit, and the flesh, your mind, it's not going to profit you, zip.
Yep.
My word is spirit. And so, as you hear it, and when Mom, years ago, when, and you may have heard that whole story, one of my mom's questions was, I'm doing stuff. I can't be listening to this all day long. I have stuff I need to do. And I remember thinking that too. It's like, oh, I've got to go to work, and then I've got to do this, and my brain is over here. It just plays. It just plays. And the next day I would hear something, and you know, you've seen it in your mom and dad, haven't you? They are like the poster child, in my opinion, of what God has done. And they speak with authority, is the one thing. When they listen to this, it's not what someone else said or what their brain created. They believe it. And it's changed them. So when they speak, out comes scripture that you believe, and no one can take that away. You own it. And that happens for you. It happens for Susan. It happens for me, where this comes in, and reading is wonderful, but hearing it and just hearing it and letting the Spirit just fill you and speak to your spirit, you're going to learn in a way that your brain's going to go like, what just happened? And you're going to learn it, you're going to process it and analyze it a different way. Your spirit is going to take it in. And that's something that, in my experience, not a lot of people know that. And unfortunately, not a lot of churches know that. That this is spirit. The flesh doesn't profit you anything. And it's not super popular. Because our flesh likes to process everything. Our flesh wants to own it. Also, our flesh wants to brand it and manufacture it and sell it. And it can't happen that way. You're not going to find this in a store shelf. It can only come one way. Back in what scripture, I'm in a good group to be able to come up with a reference, but buy the truth and sell it not. But where am I?
I think it's the Proverbs, isn't it?
Somewhere. I want to say Isaiah-ish, but in there. But that's how you can buy the truth and sell it not. I can't sell it to you. Susan can't sell it to you. It only comes one way, and you can only get it one way, but it will cost you everything. But it can only come in your spirit. You can't do this, and you can't have God be a part of your tope that you just carry around and occasionally access. He wants you to pick up your cross and follow him, and this becomes your life. And you can read it, but as you listen to it and it comes into your spirit, it's just a different ballgame. And I think that for me, because I wanted to understand it, and I really wanted to search it, darndest thing, couldn't do it. It only came one way. And it just listening, and I became convinced at the power of it, because his spirit was speaking to me, and as I would listen, light bulbs would go on. And all of a sudden, and initially, like Ken said earlier, initially, I started understanding the importance of believing this and hearing this and believing this. And all the other things that I thought I believed, they just kind of fell off, like scales just fell off. But I don't know if that's helpful or not, but for me, fortunately for me, the good news and the bad news is nothing else was really feeding me. And so I would just listen all the time. Just listen and listen. That was my church. It was my friends. It was my company. I just listened and listened and listened. And that fed my spirit, so that as I would read things and hear things coming from here, the puzzle pieces came together. Because if not, trying to understand this is like trying to build a puzzle blindfolded. But all of a sudden with this, and just listening, he wants to teach you all things. And that's how he does. And it doesn't mean that other books and resources and your friends who love the Lord, and it's not that those are bad. It's that no one can teach you this but him,
mm-hmm.
His Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so you could either take, you know, you can, there's a couple of roads to take. This one, it's pure clean water. Nothing is going to refresh you, and nothing is going to fill you. Nothing is going to explain to you like this can. And the good news and the bad news is it only comes that way. Because I think we try, and all of us have tried other stuff. And maybe it satisfies for a while, but and I can only speak for myself, this is the only thing that as I hear it, the words are spirit, and they come into my spirit. And this is, you know, above my pay grade. I can't explain it. I just know it's true. And this is how it comes in, is just in my spirit. But my brain, I did have to let go of all my expectations of what I thought I knew. Because I grew up in a Christian home and attended a Bible college, and I had a little bit of confidence in what my little old brain could come up with. And you have to let it go and realize my best thoughts were nothing. Sweep it up like dust. Sweep it out. When this comes in, what it also does is it creates a confidence in what he can do. And I don't care what anybody else thinks or says. This is the confidence that I have in here, and that's the authority over anything else. And so for what that's worth, man, if I were going to give a
advice,
there we go. I would just listen to the word. I'd turn everything off and listen to this. But it is harsh. But it just might be the truth.
And you know what really helped me was, you read the word, but don't study the word. So I would be listening, and then I'd go, well, I'm just going to read in that area, and I'm not going to try to figure it out. And I just read along, and all of a sudden, this verse, you see something you never saw before. You know, and it comes alive because you've been hearing it, and the Holy Spirit was putting it in your spirit. So it's not wrong to read. It's just, you know, and I know that's
right.
Not what
right.
Shelley was saying. You do both, but the most effective way is hearing first. I mean, because if you look in His Word, you look how many times it says, "Hear my word." All of a sudden, that'll start jumping out all over the place. You know. And there's a reason, because it's, and you know, like they say, well, they didn't have these. No, but you know what they did every day, every Sunday in the synagogue? Somebody stood up and read the scriptures so they could hear it. And if their heart was right, they heard it the way God wanted to hear it, you know? And that's, so all we're doing is we're hearing it, and it's more, I mean, it's really convenient nowadays. It's, that's kind of, that's a blessing. I mean, you can have it playing at night. You know, and it's going into your spirit. And then you go and read, and then it confirms it when you read it. You know, you'll start seeing things you heard in the Word, and they become spirit, not just the printed page. So
you know, see, you're struggling with baptism, sounds like, right now. I don't know, but maybe you are, because you're struggling with baptism and forgiveness, and also maybe you are concentrating in, you know, okay, Google, baptism. So you got all this baptism.
I've never Googled it.
Okay, not Google, but, you know, baptism subject. You know what I mean? You're maybe, see, and the word is whole thing. It's whole. It's not, don't concentrate in just baptism. I don't know what I was calling, Shelley said this, but, you know, the scripture says, when you live in faith, you know what I mean? We all do. You need faith, and the scriptures say faith comes by hearing God's word. But I am not God's word. Nobody here is God's word. You have to hear it straight from God.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing God's word. Now, guess where unbelief comes from? Not hearing God's word, but hearing everybody else.
Someone's interpretation.
Do you want pure faith, 100% made by God? You listen to God's word. Right now, we are encouraging, we are giving you encouragement about what we are saying is not God's word that will give you faith. I wish it did. But if you want faith, which is what you need to hear God's word. And we've been listening, doing this for 18, 20 years. You don't need 18, 20 years. You need whatever God wants. But if you start, as long as you start and continue, if you continue in my word, you blah blah blah. Just start and stay there. And if you don't stay there, then pray that you can stay there. Just start, and in 2 hours, you might come back and say, "Hey, I got all this stuff. I got to tell you guys about all these things I learned and unbelievable stuff that we probably never got from the scriptures." It has nothing to do. Don't say, "Well, these guys, no, they've been listening for 18, 20 years."
Yeah, don't get discouraged.
No,
like that.
Yeah, actually, yeah. We kind of make it sound like you guys are listening on tape. When I first started, I was working. I would be driving from town to town in my truck, and I'd go, "Oh, I should listen." So I'd have a cassette with it. I'll just pop it in till I get to town, you know, the next time. So I did. So it was maybe 5-10 minutes. And then that was it. And then I got working, and then I wanted to listen to something else. But in those 5 or 10 minutes, he would give me a little something. It was like uncanny. It was like, you know, like getting a drop of water on your tongue if you're dying of thirst, you know. And so, and then finally I went, "Gee, that was so good. Maybe I should listen a little longer," you know. And so it took me a while to build up to, you know, this. It, so don't make it like we have to do it for 12 hours or whatever. Just start. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Just start. And then he'll start feeding it, and he'll show you that you're doing it. You're having a good thing going on with him, you know. I mean,
the rate of revelation of the Holy Spirit is not based on a merit system. Oh, you've been listening to the Bible for 5 years, so bull.
Yeah.
The other little quick 15-second nugget is the Bible says that truth is hidden from the wise. And I use that scripture a lot to remind myself that I'm not figuring this stuff out. I'm not going to waste energy to try and figure it out, because scripture says I'm not going to be able to.
Right.
So why do that? And you tie that on with some of the other revelations that we've gotten. Is if you approach God, approach the scriptures as your child, you know nothing, he's going to tell you everything you need to know. You're not going to figure it out. He's going to tell you what you need to know. The toughest part about this walk that I've been on is the more I'm into it, the more I realize I'm not in control. And I'm not a person that likes to want to give up control. I mean, my brain works certain ways, and I fit pieces together. Lots of complicated, I can do that. This book says, no, you can't. And, you know, so am I going to just take this at face value, or am I going to argue with God? I'm going to lose that argument. So just trust God. One of the things that Keith always is fond of telling me, he would say for quite a long time, I think I've won that, is that he's running out of time and he needs to know these things. And I kept saying, no, you don't. You don't need to know, Jack. It's your heart that you want to know it on this side instead of that side. So I remind him who's in charge. I remind him who's got the clock and the timetable. I mean, my testimony has been I've got a project that I want to know. I want this answered. I want it by Thursday because I got stuff to do. And then you realize just how stupid that sounds to God. God doesn't care what my timetable is. God doesn't care what I want to know or what. He will give me what I need to know. What I have to do is make sure my heart is open to receive what he has to give me. As we've said many, many times, have an ear to hear. You can pick this up and you can memorize it. And we often talk about the difference between the letter of the word or the spirit of the word. People focus on letters. People focus on being able to quote chapter and verse. And they don't know nothing. They don't have a heart for God. They're not getting anywhere because they're not letting God do it. As soon as you take yourself out of being in the driver's seat and you let God do it, it gets so much easier. So much easier, because you realize, hey, I'm not taking on God's job. Right now, if you keep saying, "I got to figure this out before I can move forward," you're trying to take on God's job. You don't have to. Scripture says you don't have to.
And that's how he reveals his love to us. And that's how we feel his love.
Now, one of the things that really helped us, Ken, I'm speaking for the group here a little bit, but you know, back in the day, we would say, this is what we believe. This is our doctrine. And we would spend hours and hours and hours of trying to convince all those clueless people who were following other doctrines. And what was frustrating to us and just drove us nuts is, why don't they realize that we're right and they're wrong and they've got to come over to our camp? Why don't they get that? You get into this and you realize the only camp is God. And we don't have to convince anybody. If we're out witnessing, Pablo tells all this time, he's talking to somebody, he says, you know what I recommend you do? Just listen to the word. Let God convince them what needs to be done. That might actually be good advice for you. Don't wait for someone else to convince you or tell you, and then you put all the pieces together. Trust that God will do it.
Amen.
And he will.
You know, there's a scripture that says, and every time I heard it, I heard it backwards, but the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. So in my mind, I was like, for God, all things are possible. And they are. God can do whatever.
That is the truth.
Yeah. But the key is with God. And with is a union, a combination. With God, all things are possible. Not with man. Man, bad news. With God. You and God in your closet, nobody else. Just go to this. This is actually that simple to say. You know, if you can say it. Now, it's not make that easy to do, but it's with God. God will give you what you need and all the understanding and all the peace. Oh my God, He'll give you peace. With God.
He just won't give it to you the way you want, as fast as you want. The other word that we always talk about is patience. I tell you, you really want to know. You really want this. And you can keep asking, you keep asking, you go, I asked 50 times. Isn't that enough? Apparently not.
You know, by playing the scriptures 24/7, you're exposed to those scriptures 24/7. And you can be about doing your daily chores, the scriptures are still playing. But if you rely solely on just reading the Bible, how many minutes of that 24/7 are you going to spend reading the Bible?
Right. That's the key. That's why listening is so effective.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though you're doing other things, you may not be hearing it at the time, but sooner, somewhere along the line, all of a sudden you're going to hear that one key word, and your ear is going to perk up, and you're going to listen. So that's why hearing it or playing it all the time is more advantage than just depending on reading. But it's, don't give up reading, but you know,
right. Do
both. But hearing is a 24/7 thing.
And that's important.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I was thinking that Todd and I kind of have been in the same boat. She's wondering, you know, why she said we get baptized. I baptized lots of people. I've been thinking, why did I baptize them? Same thing. And back in when Saul was king, and Samuel made his, Saul went, he was going to offer some sacrifices, and it wasn't his job to do it. And Samuel made a statement to him, and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And it says in Mark 16:16, it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And it's like my thing in the past has been, because the scriptures say that, you know, and so that's why I did it. But I got kind of like you. I got thinking. I thought, why did I do it? What was the reason behind it? And I mean, I was kind of, I've been through the mill too, and but I have been getting some answers and from the scriptures, and I mentioned a couple of them. You know, like Peter says. In like manner, by baptism we are now saved. And that had to do with being, they were baptized in, on the Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And I started in by the one that went in the ark.
Noah.
And anyway, it says that 8 were saved by water. That's what it says. 8 were saved by water. And I'm thinking, I don't know how they were saved by water, except they were in the boat. But everybody else drowned. And I started to understand it. It's like somehow the water raised Noah up out of, you know what I mean? So while it drowned some, it also saved. You know, the same thing with Noah or Moses and the children of Israel. And I'm not saying I understand that. I'm just saying that some drowned in the water and other ones were saved through the water or by the water. And what does that mean? I'm not even sure what I'm saying. So that's not much help. But
clear as mud, no?
Yeah, clear as mud, yeah.
Clear as mud, huh?
Yeah.
So are
but
you only saved if you're baptized?
I actually heard the snap. I swear.
He did. He's like, oh, that was the key word.
The thief that was on the cross.
Yeah.
When Jesus told him, this day you will be in paradise with me,
mm-hmm.
He probably wasn't baptized either.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't have the opportunity.
Okay. That confused you a little more. But
he's not done.
But, you know.
But.
So, that's as far as I can take it, because that's all I know.
I saw it in there.
For me to be baptized is because Jesus was baptized, and I want to follow him. So I want to do what he wants me to do, and I feel he wants me to be baptized. And it's to identify with his death and his resurrection. And the forgiveness of sins also.
I think that is important.
Jesus made the statement to John the Baptist. He said, I'm going to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean? I'm not saying we know, but you were baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So there was a reason behind it, and I want to know a lot more of that myself. You know,
yeah. I don't know all of it. But
God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth here?
And I think there's a great question, as we just pointed out. God's grace and mercy. You know, it's hard to know. We don't know exactly how far that goes. So if people have an opportunity to be baptized and choose not to, it's not the same as someone who wasn't baptized. So it gets kind of dicey when you say this is a requirement. Although Scripture is kind of clear, it's interesting that Jesus would go to John the Baptist, who was without sin, and said, I need to be baptized. And if the only one who came in flesh was perfect and felt that baptism was a good thing to fulfill all righteousness, that's pretty strong encouragement that there's no downside.
I know, but
I mean,
my fear is that I'm going to do it wrong.
I don't think
so. And so here's my mind.
Too much.
I am questioning myself too much, but like, I'm all in. But I'm not.
The word but.
I'm all in, but then there's still all that, like, garbage back here.
Take care of that later.
You're putting too much of your flesh up into it.
So I
am
terrified to be baptized. I'm just going to put all that. I'm terrified to be baptized.
How do you see this? A lot of things can happen in baptism. Nobody knows because every individual is different. You might get baptized and all that's gone.
Maybe the devil is just
Charlie has a testimony. He was smoking. He got baptized, and afterwards he had no desire to smoke again.
I could not stop. Oh, I just could not stop. And then it was just totally lifted, and it...
And I had don't think he even was thinking of it at the time he got baptized.
Yeah, it wasn't a focus, but, well, we prayed about it, but it wasn't much of a focus, but it just, I had no trouble, no trouble.
Yeah, I was going to say that is just a lie of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got lots of lies.
I mean, right. But I mean, first off, yeah. I don't know if someone said, came to me and said, okay, I want to get baptized and I want to do it right, I don't know what I'd tell them.
Yeah, I don't
either. I would say, trust God, have faith. And if we wait in any part of our walk to wait till we're sure we're going to do it right, then the enemy has us. Because you're waiting for perfection to move forward instead of trusting in God to be able to overcome. And that's what he will do.
You know, fear is only of the devil. There's no fear in God. You should fear God. If you're terrified, if you fear God, God bless you. But
you should fear God.
You are
that's what he said.
You should fear God. But if you are terrified of being baptism, I don't think that baptism is the issue. There's a spirit tormenting you. You might get baptized right now, but there's a spirit that we need to address. It's talking to you and it's telling you all the wrong things. And it's just a spirit. The issue is not baptism, I believe. It's a spirit that talks and is very convenient. That's what spirits do. That's all they do. They just lie. The devil is a liar from the beginning.
Yeah.
And a thief is lies. You're listening to lies and lies and lies. Every time you hear anything that gives you fear or terrifies you, it's a lie. All day long, it's a lie. It's a spirit that needs to be addressed. Let's say you are all of a sudden baptism, but there's a spirit that needs to be addressed, for sure. And having a spirit that needs to be addressed doesn't make you unworthy. No.
Yeah.
No.
I just want to know that if you get baptized and you feel nothing and you feel no different, it's still okay.
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
Oh. Yes. I don't feel anything.
That's my testimony.
A little wet. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You're going to feel a little wet. This is a bad joke.
bad joke.
Just, I didn't feel nothing when I got baptized.
I
you know what I mean?
I don't remember, other than I know it was Altoona. That's all I remember.
But see, today I understand baptism like I didn't understand it then. Mm-hmm. So now today I know why I got baptized. But it's been 20 years since I got baptized. Now I'm, that's what I did when I got baptized. I didn't know it then. I do now. You know, I didn't feel spirit nothing. I didn't speak in tongues. I don't remember feeling any. I was glad I did. I was actually very happy I got baptized. But I didn't feel the Spirit of God is saved. And no, the kingdom of heaven comes without observation. You don't wait to feel things or see things.
Or do it perfect.
Yeah. The kingdom,
because you get baptized day after day that follows, all of a sudden you might realize, hey, I'm not the same. I feel different. Or I see different.
That's what I needed, because I've been to baptisms and people come out of the water and they're like, and they look like they've got the biggest high going on in the world, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you're afraid you're not going to get that.
Exactly. But everyone that I've seen is like that.
No, you know what? I'm going to make a huge judgment. I'm making, okay, a scripture first. It says in some places, some preach Jesus out of
contention, I think.
No, out of
it's
in Philippians.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's like it's an act. All right? It's made up.
What they think they're supposed to look
yeah.
like.
See, I see
that's
your...
That's what I need. Mm-hmm. You know what? That right there.
Yeah.
That was, that's...
I was thinking the same
there,
thing.
Thank you. Like, light bulb, that was talking. One of them. The lights just came up. Thank you, because that's what I was terrified, is that...
You want to receive.
I'm...
No.
I wouldn't stand up and be like...
No, 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 no. No, it's... It
and
is
and I don't hide my feelings very well. So, I don't...
What is this?
If you, you know, baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. A lot of people, while they might not have, you know, when you say you've looked at people who have come up and they just have this very happy feeling, if they're following along, they've just had all their sins forgiven. And you feel pretty good about the fact that whatever baggage you've been carrying along, you know that it's just been forgiven. And that takes a lot of weight off the person.
You know, the scriptures are, Jesus is all day long saying, men love the praises of man. It's like, Jesus is all, you guys just are for a show. When you give money, you sound a trumpet. You dress a certain way. When you fast, you make your face look worse than what it looks like in the first place. I believe this is a lot of acting in Christianity altogether. I believe that a lot of people that fail on the Spirit did not follow the Spirit. I believe that as a Christian, Bible-reading Christian, and I do believe in God, 100%. But I believe that there's a lot of drama in Christianity, not Christianity, but in
the doctrines of Christianity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Christianity is not for show. Don't do nothing for what people think, for what it's going to look like. That's why it's with God in your closet. And just you alone. Who cares? Who cares?
The scripture that Keith brought in the beginning, he didn't read the whole part of it or something, but it's a sign of a good conscience. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what he says. That it's not to wash the filth off, you know, of dirt, but it's the sign of a good conscience that you're being baptized.
Yeah, because that's your heart.
I had something
I can't remember the whole part of it, but the washing.
What did you have, Marty?
Whatever.
I just,
First Peter
the whole
3.
Time that we've been, well, I've been listening and we've been talking, so thank you very much for that, because, you know, I'm trying to learn too. I've got my own beliefs and my own knowledge and my own understanding.
But not God's.
but that's just it. And that's just, nobody in here does.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is that it, you know, and I think Corky kind of said it, it doesn't matter if you've studied 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, there's no chip like in AA or whatever.
Right.
I've got my 30-day chip, so now I can move on to the next chapter. But the idea that the understanding will be different for every person, and that the understanding comes from the grace of God, not from how many times you read the Bible, not from how, if you have the Bible playing 24/7 in the background, if that's, you know, that could be, I mean, whatever, that your understanding is, it doesn't matter. The understanding, no matter what, no matter how it comes, no matter what time it comes, and then how much, only comes from God's grace.
Yes.
And the understanding of it, again, might be different, but I think ultimately the truth is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
The defiler, the enemy, that is all, I've probably said it beautifully, that's all that we get. It's designed that way so that the truth is, your truth is different than mine. And you know what that does? It causes division. It causes people to go against people and man against man, and your way is not the right way, so, you know, why can't you just understand how true I am? You know, I think somebody said that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you clearly got it wrong, because I'm right.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily God's truth. But isn't it amazing how the enemy makes it feel like it is for each person, and so that we can be divided and not keep our eye on the prize. Instead of keeping my eye on the spiritual portion of it, I'm worried about what Ken thinks about me. Or am I wearing the right shoes? Or, you know, did I give enough to the church today? do I, you know, raise the little children in Africa or whatever? Those are all great causes. The Bible says that we're not going to get to heaven by our good works.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to go is through Jesus, period. And I feel like, yeah, I'm a very linear guy. I'm the dumbest country boy in the room, swear it. But to me, it's so easy to just say, that's the way that it is. And just let it go. Like, let it go. And that's the only way to do it. And I pick it back up all the time. Every day, 100 times a day. Mm-hmm. I struggle with my drinking. I struggle with lust. I struggle with finances. I struggle with just outright. I looked at my cat while in the 9 o'clock church hour this morning. I looked at my cat and I wanted to pull him off the counter just to watch him fall. And you can't tell me that that's of God. But what that's designed to do is to confuse me so that my eye isn't on Jesus. My eye isn't on spirituality. My eye is on death and hatred and destruction. And then I wrestle with it in my heart instead of just letting the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, when God wants me to have that, to come through. And I feel like that the thirst of that knowledge, the thirst, that the love of the truth that everybody was talking about this morning is right there. But we convolute it so much because of the devil, because of the bad works and our own guilt, our own shame pushes us so far away. You know, and everybody in this room can easily say, well, you just don't know what I've done. What I've done is so much worse than what you've done.
Right.
You've never... Barb would never forgive me if Barb knew what was going on in my head. And that might be true. but Jesus did already. You know, it's not a license to go out and sin. I firmly believe that. My understanding is, again, as the one who probably knows the least about any of the scripture in here, I've never even read the Bible. I don't even know what the last page is. Okay? But what I do know is that my understanding of it is so simple that, you know, I love the fact that I learned a little bit more today. I never looked at it as a resurrection, more of just like a covenant that I have with God of my own, for my own sins, my own beliefs, my own washing clean, and then trying my very best to live the way that I believe Jesus wants me to live, which is very simple again to me. Anything that's not good is not of God. So if I'm trying to live after that, no matter what it is, if I'm lusting after another woman, if I'm chasing after the almighty dollar, if I'm wishing my cat demise or whatever, if it's not good, it's not of God.
And it's so true that it's a work of grace. So you're right about that, Marty.
Purely.
It is a work of grace.
You know, Charlie, you baptized me. You baptized me in a swimming pool at a hotel, and I got news for you. I didn't hear bells. The only lights I saw were blurry because my eyes had chlorine in them or whatever. You know? There was no angels. Nobody lifted me up. I don't even remember what I did the next day, but I know it was a sin. I know doggone well that I sinned.
Yeah.
And sometimes purposefully. Sometimes I make decisions to sin. Like straight up. Like, I know this is wrong. I know this is evil. I know that if I go to this place, this is going to happen, but sometimes I still end up there.
Hey, welcome
you
to
sound
the group.
Like.
Yep.
And so the reality is that it doesn't matter how many times I read. If I read a book on neurosurgery right now and how to do brain surgery, does that make me an authority on brain surgery?
No.
And if I have somebody who also doesn't have a full understanding of brain surgery teach me about brain surgery, we go through the book. Chapter 1, cut open the skull. Right? Then what difference does that make if I'm being led by the wrong people? If I'm being led by the wrong answer because I'm not being led by the only thing that is that truth, and that's Jesus through the Holy Spirit. That's in the context.
You know, we are ought to forgive our brothers. Jesus says, you that are evil, you that are evil do certain things, so we are all evil.
Absolutely.
All day long. If we that are evil have to forgive 490 times our brother, how much more will our Father forgive us? That's, I'll give you a perspective of what sin is.
You know what I mean? Sin will kill you, but you can be forgiven. And
I feel like chasing the truth, is of man. The truth will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
God called, Jesus called us by name.
Yeah.
I didn't, and until that happened, it doesn't matter. You know, I challenge an atheist to read the Bible too. You know why? Because in order to be an atheist, you have to believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way to be an atheist.
Right.
Literally, by definition,
right.
You know, atheist.
Yeah.
Anti, against.
Right.
So I challenge that too. I would love that because that, you know what? Then the mustard seed is planted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, in my little linear brain, this is so simple that it's hard because we let man convolute it by our doctrine, by our fear, you know, and that's what the devil wants. It's exactly what the devil wants.
So you can imagine what our kitchen table conversation sounds like.
I just think about the poor cat.
The poor cat.
Just keep repenting.
Yeah.
Right.
God,
you
know, that's the biggest key. I mean, you can say, well, I sinned, and yeah, but if you don't repent, then you are in trouble. I mean, you know. But if you have a heart to want to repent, then don't be condemned by the devil because it happens again, you know. Because that's after Paul says that in chapter 8, he goes, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get set up.
I am definitely getting closer. I feel much more at ease and peace, so thank you. I think I needed that. I needed people to say, I'm not telling you. You know, and like, just here it is, because it's probably been a year that I have been, and I'm going to say, chasing this root. Like, just chasing this baptism thing because I feel stuck. Like, I can't move on, and I'm stuck right where I am. And it's getting scary out there. And
do you think maybe the Lord's placing it on your heart at this point?
Well, I mean, you keep saying that. I don't know. I feel like I'm going insane. I'm going crazy. I'm probably making my family go crazy. You know, but I do. I just needed someone to not answer me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I wanted somebody to not answer me, but answer me.
In the words you wanted to hear.
Because I can tell you every answer I've ever received about baptism. So, I think that definitely helped. It really did, because now I feel like I am close to being baptized. Like, now I feel like, oh, yeah, and it is going to be awesome, and it is going to be amazing. And even if I don't feel anything, I'm going to feel everything.
All right.
There you go.
There. Perfect.
So,
yes.
Good line to close on.
Yeah. Well, we need to pray for you.
Would you like to be prayed for?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to tell you all.